For those of you who are uncomfortable with talking about money, you might have expected that since last week was Commitment Sunday, you could confidently walk into church this morning without worrying that you would hear another scripture passage addressing money or giving or anything like that. But here, as we continue in the Gospel of Mark, is another passage about money. This one explicitly about the offerings that were being given at the temple. And here we are reminded that Jesus really did talk about money a lot. He talked about our need to share it. He talked about our dependence on it. He talked about our need to be set free from being addicted to it. Here in this passage, he's sitting by and watching as people put their offerings in the collection. Here in this passage, he's talking about money and our relationship to it. And here in this passage, he is talking about so much more than money, about the commitment of our lives and our hearts. As we were reminded last week, these chapters in Mark, from chapter 11 through 14, tell the stories of Jesus's last week of life. They're filled with important lessons, and they're filled with increasing conflict that finally leads to his death. In these stories, we hear what Mark understands to be Jesus's last lessons for his followers. So, we should sit up and take notice. So what's going on in today's passage? As we've talked about before, Jesus was often in conflict with the authorities, especially in these last stories. And while the passage that we heard last week was one of agreement between Jesus and a scribe, this week we return to the conflict. The passage we read begins with Jesus's criticism of the scribes. He said, "Beware. Beware of those religious leaders who like to show off. Beware of those who think they deserve respect because of their position rather than their person. Beware of those who use their power to get favors for themselves, but who neglect those in need. Beware of those who take advantage of the needy." And the reality is that while it was the scribes that he referenced, this is not a statement about Jewish scribes or even Jewish leaders in general, but this is a statement about any leaders, particularly in this context, religious leaders, who use their power to their own benefit and who live in ways that say that they are better than others. After this critique, Jesus then shifts our attention. And if you're reading your Bible, you might notice in some versions of the Bible, there's a new title placed here. Something like the widow's offering, or for those of us who are familiar with the language of the King James Version, maybe the widow's mite. But remember, those titles, those are additions. Those are things that are put in by translators. They're not part of the biblical text. So we want to remember that verse 41 doesn't start a new story, but rather it's a conversation that continues, just as Martha read it to us this morning. Jesus has criticized the leaders for their abuse of power, and then, as he sits near the treasury, the place where people are putting their offering, he notices someone who could not be more different. She's a widow, and right there, we should be alerted in that one word that we are to understand she is not a person of power. She is not a person of means. She is a person who is dependent upon her society and the systems around her for her well-being. In the midst of all of those who were bringing their offerings to the treasury, most of whom were part of a group we might call the haves, most of whom were bringing larger amounts, Jesus points to a woman who brought a small amount. According to the New Revised Standard Version, two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And Jesus praised her gift. Only a penny, we might say. Why would that receive praise? That couldn't pay a utility bill. That couldn't purchase curriculum for children's faith formation classes. It couldn't even buy a can of food for the food pantry. That gift was not of much value, according to our worldly standards. And yet, Jesus praised it. And did you hear why? The New Revised Standard Version, which is the version that we typically read from and what Martha read to us today, says, "For all of them," that is, the other people, the ones who were giving the larger amounts, "have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." In other words, the woman gave more. Not a larger part of the total offering, but a larger part of herself. And while the New Revised Standard Version tends to be my go-to translation for many things, this is a passage where I think the translators got it a little wrong. In fact, if we look at other versions, we hear something different. Instead of saying that those other people gave out of their abundance, for example, the Common English Bible says all of them gave out of their spare change. Or the New International Version says all of them gave out of their wealth. See, if we only think about abundance as being the bottom line dollar, the amount on our bank statement, the deposit made into our bank account, then the NRSV is right. That's what they gave from. They gave from a large amount that they had accumulated. But it seems in the upside down world of a Savior born in poverty, whose family was on the run as refugees in his toddler years, who never owned a home but lived on the hospitality of others, who fought with love rather than his fists, who died because of what he believed in the upside-down world of this Jesus who we claim to follow, abundance is something very different than our accumulation of money and material goods. Abundance is about something very different than worldly power and prestige and position. Abundance is about how we live, how we give, and how we trust the community with our very lives. Yes, the rich people who came out and gave their large offerings, they ensured that their names would be on the buildings and that they would have seats of honor at all the community meals. They gave more coins, they gave more quantity, but they gave only what was safe, only what was extra in their lives, only what didn't impact their living. The widow, on the other hand, may not have even known when she would next hold two small copper coins. But she understood abundance to be about something larger, something much more valuable. Rather than being tied to that which she could hold in her hand, she gave it up and chose to live from a place of her heart. She shared in a way that said that she trusted her God and her community so much that she would not only give up her coins, but in doing so, give up her control. See, we often think about abundance as having a lot. And in our first world countries, that usually means having a lot of stuff. And we think about scarcity as having little, as being in need, as being dependent upon others. And yet, if we define it by the life of Jesus, those definitions change. Perhaps it isn't accidental that here, just days before his own death, Jesus points to a poor woman who tossed in a measurably small offering that for her was everything. And he says, look at this woman. In giving those few coins, she gave her everything. She gave her livelihood. She gave her life. So what does this mean for those of us who are followers of Jesus? Are we willing to do more than enjoy the stories of his life and treat them as the history of an impressive person? Are we willing to do more than sit in awe of the way that he lived, but then let ourselves off the hook by claiming his divinity, by claiming his differentness? Are we willing to do more than read the stories in the sanctuary and then leave them behind when we exit the building? If we are followers of Jesus, what happens when we actually follow? What would our lives look like if we lived in abundance? Not the abundance of the world, but the abundance of God. What would our lives look like if we understood ourselves not to be self-made individuals, but to be interdependent on our Creator and our communities and all of creation? What would our lives look like if we shared grace in abundance and joy in abundance and peace in abundance and love in abundance? What would our lives look like if we were set free from having to protect our stuff and our positions and our power? What would our lives look like if we were truly grateful for the very gift of this life? What would our lives look like if we embraced abundance redefined? Friends, we claim to be followers of Jesus. Imagine the abundance in which we will live when we choose to follow. Amen.